I'm going to tell you some other facts from Mark and Luke, because all three of them record the thinking about the Holy Family. That's the message this morning, the Holy Family. So while you are looking at Luke or at Matthew chapter 12, I'll give you some facts from Mark. And he cometh into the house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And one feature that Mark gives us is that he looked round about on them. Now, I will read you from Matthew 12, telling you that in Luke, he adds the word, they that hear the word of God and do it. Now, Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. We've just been telling about the unclean spirit that had left the man, went out seeking rest, found it not, came back, was in seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and the last state of the man had become worse than the first. Verse 46. While he was yet speaking to the multitude, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, seeking to speak to him. And one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, seeking to speak to thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Mm-hmm. Our Father, we're so thankful for the brief accounts that thou dost give us about the life of thy son. We anticipate the time when we can get to heaven and every moment of his existence on earth can be contemplated. The word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Our Father, all those things that we wanted to know and your word in its compactness does not tell us. We are so thankful that you tell us that then we shall fully know. We are glad for an eternity of learning about thy son, the things on earth, because you tell us about the earthly thing as well as about the spiritual thing, and we are fascinated with them, our God. We are so glad about the spiritual thing, but you know that our hearts were thrilled to learn that he was a boy, 12 years old, that he had advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, and all of these things thrilled us. And we've read of an incident that occurred to him when he was on earth, and we desire to profit from it spiritually. And we shall, if thy spirit, whom we pray shall work in our hearts, shall be hearkened to, and if you empower the lips of him who speaks, and that is our petition. So this morning, let us not come together and have the attitude to be what a weariness it is, but let it be one that is one of anticipation and waiting upon you, Father, and receiving your word as the Thessalonians did. They received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, and may it work effectually in all who hear. You know our sins, be confessed, and be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and all unrighteousness is your promise. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The Holy Family, I remember having a book once, that had a lot of pictures in it about the life of the Lord Jesus. And one of them had a picture of Jesus, and Mary, and Joseph, and all of them had halos on their heads, of course. And the title of that picture was The Holy Family. And it, later on, when the Lord Jesus grew older, the Holy Family, they could have put in James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters as well, because they were the Holy Family as far as men, you see. But what is so startling is this, that when this Holy Family came to speak to the Lord Jesus, he renounced them and spoke about another family that was the Holy Family. So how can that be? How could someone be so disloyal to his earthly family and be so faithful to his heavenly family, the Holy Family? It had to be that way. Do you not understand that all of those that were related by blood to the Lord Jesus, that unless they were believers, unless they had been born again, in the coming day, if an accursed Samaritan is standing before the presence of Christ, and a blood relative of the Lord Jesus is standing before our Lord Christ, and the Samaritan has believed, and the blood relative has not believed, he will say to the blood relative, "Depart from me, ye accursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And so that is to destroy any hope that you have of admittance into heaven because of some physical, fleshly relationship to any man. For this reason, if anybody could get to heaven because of blood relationship, it would be Simon and James and Joseph and Judas and the sisters of Jesus. They could walk up to heaven and say, "Let me in." On what ground? Jesus is my half brother. Oh, come in, come in. But any thought of something like that is rejected from the brief passage of scripture that I read to you from Matthew chapter 12. And all of you who are trusting in anything other than the precious blood of Christ as admittance to heaven, you remember this. But there are those that have greater claims than you do, physical claims than you do, and moral claims of self-righteousness than you do, and yet the Lord Jesus renounces his family, and the Lord Jesus says to those that had more morality and religiosity than you do, he said, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." And so this is the death blow to any way of getting into heaven other than by faith and the Savior that died for you and rose again. And yet, having told you this, there will still be some of you who go out and speak of your righteousness, who speak of your kinship to some creature or some holy, devout man, and you have some hope that your relationship, your morality, is going to get you to heaven. And yet the Lord Jesus has already told us these things in advance. And what he said on earth will simply be repeated to you when you stand before him, because it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, when you stand before him, what he said on earth is going to be repeated at judgment. That's what he said in John 12. He said, "If any man hears my words and receives them not," he said, "I judge you not. I came not to condemn man, but to save man." He said, "But understand this, that in that coming day, the words that I spoke to you on earth, they are going to be the words that judge you." So there's not going to be any surprise when we stand before God, because all of it has been told us in advance as to what's going to happen. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And if you are his brother, a sister, it doesn't mean that you have life. It means that you are related to him, but you do not have life. But if you were despised American, if you had been in the city of sinner, and yet you have placed your faith in Christ, then you will be admitted into heaven. How remarkable. And how admirable it was of the Lord Jesus to take that stand. I've seen some fathers and mothers, because of the sinfulness of their children, the fact and the teachings of the Word of God, because their children have gone astray, and the only way that they can keep in happiness with their children is to be ashamed of Jesus and of his words in this sinful and adulterous generation, and follow the lives of their children. The Lord Jesus would not follow his own mother and his brothers and sisters. You understand this? That the Lord Jesus would take a stand for you, unworthy sinners who accepted him as Savior. And yet, you who have been saved, if others of your blood religion come, you will be more loyal to them than you are to the Lord Jesus. Can you not see the contradiction? What shame do we stand before the Lord? And the Savior will say, when my mother came to see me, I did not admit her. I kept talking to you about the things of the kingdom of God. And some of you, if friends come or relatives come, you won't be here tonight. You say, I can't leave them at home. I see. And so the Lord Jesus, when his mother and brethren wanted to see them, he said, these are my mother, my brother, my sister. I'm talking to them. The ones that hear the word of God and keep it. And yet if a man behaved in such a way, he would be criticized, looked upon as strange, and yet he would be a follower of the teachings of the Lord Jesus. And that's why the Lord Jesus was looked upon as strange. And here is something that I have to laugh at, because last week and the week before, I told you about the enemies of the Lord Jesus and what they said about him. When the Lord Jesus was casting out demons, they said to him, this man by Beelzebub casts out demons. And elsewhere the Lord Jesus said, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more the Father? And so his enemies said the Lord Jesus was demon influenced, and he was Beelzebub himself. That's what his enemies said. But what about his family? What about his friends? What do they have to say about it? They forget. They said he's insane. Isn't that terrible? You go to the enemies and they say, you're demon possessed, and so you go to your family and they say he's insane. And so this is the attitude that men had concerning the Lord Jesus. Because that's what the word means. But I read to you from Mark chapter 3. The Lord Jesus was at the height of his popularity. People were surrounding him. And the Lord Jesus was ready to sacrifice all the necessities of life. They had no time to eat and drink. And his family heard about it. His brother. And when they heard about it, they were going down to take care of Jesus. They were going to lay hold on him. They were going to rescue him from this religious fanaticism that somehow had come over him. And this is what they said as they came to see him. They said, he is beside himself. The word is the word that is used elsewhere about a person that is out of his mind. They are amazed. They are astonished. And let me tell you how you ascertain the meaning of the word. The Apostle Paul uses it of himself. He says in 2 Corinthians, he said, if we are beside ourselves, the same word as our Savior has spoken of him, if we are beside ourselves, it is unto God. If we are sober mind, it is unto you. And so sober mind is contrasted with one that's out of his mind, one who is beside himself. And so concerning the only man who ever spoke every word that God would have him to speak, the only one that behaved precisely the way his Father wanted him to behave, men listened to him and looked at him, and those closest to him said, he is insane. Now what do you have to say about the Lord Jesus? What would you have to say about me if my loved ones died, and instead of going to the funeral, I went and spoke to a man who wanted to be saved. I know what you would say would be criticism. You would say, his life is contradictory. He pays too much attention to the things of the Spirit, and that's the kind of criticism you would get if you try to do the will of God. So, if you do not do the will of God, you're criticized. And if you do the will of God, you're criticized. And so, if I must be criticized, let me be criticized by men and not by the Savior. Because one of the men said concerning the Savior, this is what he said. He said, I do always those things that please my Father. And so he didn't care what you or anybody else thought about him. He knew that what he did please his Father. And his Father had said it from heaven. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, if God were to say that concerning me, I do not care what you say about me. And if the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And you reject my words, I do not care. If the Father says, you listen, he's speaking the word of God. That's the important thing. And the Lord Jesus said over and over again, the words that I speak, they are my words that the Father is sending. So remember this, and this is a comfort for all of you who intelligently and according to the word carry out God's will. The Lord Jesus did it, and they said that he was insane. The Lord Jesus worked the works of God, and they said he was demon possessed. And the Savior said, if they call me Beelzebub, the master of the house, how much more his followers? And so this is what is so sad concerning the life of Christ. It seems as if, in your case and mine, when the world is against us, we could go to our loved ones, and they would give us comfort and support. But the Lord Jesus had to leave his loved ones. And he had to seek comfort and support, not by blood related, but by spiritual related. And so, there is the Holy Family, but the Holy Family is not Simon and James and Joseph and Judas and all of those that are related to the Lord Jesus by blood, but they are those who have been born again into the family of God. And without explaining any of the technicalities, I'm just going to tell you this. As it says in Ephesians chapter 3, it speaks about the whole family of God in heaven and on earth. That is what is so beautiful. That there is a family of God, and it has nothing to do with any physical relationship with the Lord Jesus or you to your parents if they have been born again. This is what it says in John 1:13. It speaks about first, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, for then gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that is the holy family, the family of God. And that's the family that the Lord Jesus honors and acknowledges, and it's the family that you should love more than your earthly family. And the Lord Jesus said, if you love father or mother or daughter or any relation more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. And you have not yet considered putting the Lord Jesus first. And I've seen strong men humble when their children go astray. They're prepared to forsake doctrine. They're prepared to forsake that they have held their whole life long in the scripture that they might go along with the sins committed by their children. The Lord Jesus would never do it, and he would never turn to his brethren and say, you are well. All is well with your soul. The Lord Jesus had his said concerning his brethren in John chapter 7, and this is so sad, it said even his brethren did not believe on him. That's the honesty of the word of God. Any person that had counterfeited the word of God, like Mary and all of his brothers and sisters, would hang upon every word. They would adore their brother, knowing that he came from heaven. The Bible says, though that he existed his whole life long, they did not even believe in him. That's the truth of God's will and God's word. And for that reason, the Lord Jesus learned that they were not believers. The Lord Jesus went elsewhere to be with his family, where the Lord Jesus had his comfort and his consolation. Let me ask you, at that Last Supper, upon whose bosom did the head of the Lord Jesus lie? You say, not one of his brothers, no, but one of his brothers in Christ, John the Beloved Apostle. You say, yes. And so he found solace among the spiritual family. And what about his earthly family? Well, they rejected him. They called him insane. And the Lord Jesus said on more occasions than one, he said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house, and among his own kin. The Lord Jesus experienced the same thing that you and I do. But the Lord Jesus has a different family. And if there are not two families, and if there is not the true holy family, then the promises of the Lord Jesus cannot be fulfilled. A person asked him, he said, we have taken our analogy, what shall we have? And Lord Jesus not only told them about the future, he said, but right now, you will have a hundredfold, mothers and houses and land, and so think of that. The only way that you can have a hundred mothers would be in a spiritual family. And if that is so, all of you women are responsible to behave as my mother, and all of you men as my brothers, and you women as my sisters, and that way, if my family has rejected me, I have not loved the family. I simply go and associate myself with another family. But this is what I find, that the people of God today have no closeness, but somehow they tolerate one another. And if they want enjoyment, they go elsewhere outside the holy family, and they take it from some other family. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in Psalm 16. He says, as for the saints that are in the earth, they are the excellent in whom is all my delight. Now, is it not sad that some of us, if we were broken hearted, and I've had it spoken to me, people from different meetings come and say, I cannot go to anyone in my own meeting and pour out my soul here. I had to come to you. But is that not sad? It says that we have to confess our sins one to another, and yet whom can you trust in this meeting if you told your sins to them? Why, they would be shocked, they would reject you, or they would go and tell everybody else about it. No discretion at all. But the holy family should be that way. We should be able to confess our sins one to another. And that's the correct translation of James. And it says we are to bear our own burdens, but also we are to bear one another's burdens. And that's what the family of God is supposed to do. They are supposed to be mothers and brothers and sisters because our own family is passed without. Think of that blind man in John chapter 9. The family had heard what would be done to anyone that acknowledged the Lord Jesus. They would be put out of the synagogue. They would be ostracized. And his son had his eyes opened by the Lord Jesus. And so the enemies of Christ came and said, is this your son? Was he born blind? And they were afraid to say anything more than this. We know that he's our son. We know that he was born blind. But as to how it happened, we know nothing, absolutely nothing. Why? They were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. And this blind son stood up to them and said, my hearing is a marvel that you know not whence he is. He said, since the world began, nobody has opened the eyes of a blind man. If he were not of God, he could do nothing. And they said, you were altogether born in sin. And they cast him out. The Lord Jesus was stood up for us by this man, and they cast him out. And so here is this man, and all the support that he had from his blood relatives and from the synagogue and all the religious leaders of the day, it was bad, and they cast him out. And it said, the Lord Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and he found them and spoke to him. You see? Now, which do you prefer? To stay in the acceptance of men, and to have Jesus on unfamiliar terms with you, or to have men reject you, and when the Lord Jesus hears that you're rejected by men, he comes and stands by you. This is what David says in Psalm 27. He says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And that is what the Lord Jesus looked to. And it says that he looked for comforters and for some to take pity, and there was none. But the ones to whom he looked were the holy family. Because he said to those with whom he was most intimate, Peter, James, and John, he said, watch and pray with me. And then again, watch and pray that you ever not be temptation. Do you see? He was at least seeking comfort and fellowship with those at stone's throw. He was seeking fellowship with the family of God, and he found his mouth. So here we are today, and if we are in this dilemma, that we stood up for the Lord Jesus, and our family after the flesh has rejected us, and there's nobody with whom you can have fellowship in the family of God, where can we go for fellowship? And so you are supposed to support me. And when I am heartbroken, I am supposed to come to you. You are the family of God. And the Lord Jesus acknowledged it. And even though the family was unworthy, at that last Passover, the Lord Jesus said, this will desire, have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Can you read the condition of their heart? And that the Lord Jesus loved and he came and ate that Passover with him. And he said, I've had a desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And you and I, we don't want to come out to be with you. But if we come out and I'm with the people of God and we sing a little and pray a little and hear something from the Word, that is something of worth. I could wish that there would be better ministry, more fervent prayers, spirit of the presence of God in our midst, but still, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and let us be faithful to the family of God, because that is how the Lord Jesus is faithful. Now, this morning, all of you who think certain thoughts concerning the relatives of the Lord Jesus that are not scriptural, the Roman Catholic Church has exalted Mary to the high heaven. I will exalt her this house. There was not a finer Roman form of man. God chose the finest woman he could lay his hand on through whom the Lord Jesus should enter the world. But this woman spoke about God, my Savior. And Mary had to trust the one for salvation whom she brought into the world the same as any other sinner. After trusting for salvation. And yet, those who would exalt Mary, the Lord Jesus assures us as to her place and the proper relationship that she has with him every time he speaks to her and every time she approaches him, because in John chapter 2, when they ran out of wine, she said, they have no wine. The Lord Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. By all of those who exalt Mary would have the Lord Jesus to say, yes, mother. They would have Jesus to treat Mary the way that Solomon treated Bathsheba. You remember that when Bathsheba came in, Solomon's mother, he did obeisance to her. He was almost obsequious to her. And that's how they would have Jesus to treat Mary. But when Mary speaks to him, telling him what to do, he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And now, the mother of the Lord Jesus is on the outside, and she wants to speak to Jesus. I'm sure that every Roman Catholic would have the Lord Jesus to disperse the crowd and go and kneel to his mother. But he said, this is my mother, this is my brother, this is my sister, you see? And on an occasion when the Lord Jesus finished speaking, it said, a woman in the crowd lifted her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the path that thou didst not. And the Lord Jesus said, yea, rather, blessed is he that heareth the word of God and doeth it. Every time that Mary would intrude on the preeminent place of the Lord Jesus Christ with reverence and with honor, the Lord Jesus lets men know that she is a woman, the finest of women, but she is a woman like other women. There is only one without sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one who can attend to your sins. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for that reason, God has us to be Mary, And every time he does, though there is reverence and at the cross, the Lord Jesus simply said to her, "Woman, behold thy son." And he said to the beloved apostle, "Behold thy mother." That's all that he said. Respect, yes, care, concern, but no exaltation of Mary. And so if Mary has no preeminent place, but the Lord Jesus spends his last hours on earth not with his mother, but with his disciples, and if the Lord Jesus will not cease speaking to his spiritual holy family to go and talk with his mother, why are you trusting in any physical relationship and in any self righteousness to enhance your worth in the presence of God? It is absolutely worthless. It says, "We are the circumcision who worship God by the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh." And Paul said, if anybody had confidence, and he shows the best of man who could have confidence in self-righteousness in the flesh. And Mary and her children, they were those, if anybody could have confidence in relation to Jesus, they had it. But it was worthless. You must be born of God. And so for that reason, when they come speaking to the Lord Jesus, he tells the one who comes about the spiritual family, the holy family, and they are the ones who have the place of honor in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. Now let me ask you this. Is it not embarrassing for Peter and Andrew and James and John to be able to say, "We have forsaken all and followed this"? And yet his own mother and brethren are not following him. They're not listening to his words. They have to come from a distant place and come and seek admission to speak to the Lord Jesus. Don't you see that contradiction? Here are those that are his blood relatives, and yet they have not forsaken all and followed him. And yet, when James and John heard the Lord Jesus say, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," it says, they forsook all and followed him. They left their father in the boat with the servant, and they followed the Lord Jesus. And here is the Lord Jesus, and he leaves his family, and they do not come after him. And so for that reason, the Lord Jesus lets us know about earthly families and about heavenly families. And he says that the earthly family is to be honored and respected, because if any man provide up for his own, even those of his own household, he is worse than an infidel, but at the same time, they must be put in their place. And the people of God, they are supposed to be the excellence in whom is all our delight. It was so with the Lord Jesus. And if you would not have it that way, then why not say, "Lord, I want you to treat me the way that I treat you in relation to my family"? Why don't you tell him that? Because you will find that if that is so, then to treat how the Lord Jesus would be painful, it would be one of this. And yet there may be some, and I've seen this, that honor others more than their family, and they neglect their own family. Do not forget this verse. "They made me keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept." It does not mean to neglect and reject your family, but it means to have it in the proper place. To keep it in a balance between what should be done for your family and their needs, and the needs of others and your fellowship with the people of God. They should both be there. But the Lord Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." And so give your family everything that is their due, for the results of the family of God, and give them the place that the Lord Jesus would have you to give them. The reason I brought to your attention some of the facts from Mark and Luke is because of this. Three things. Luke adds this. The ones that hear the word of God and do it, they are my mother and my brother. And Matthew speaks about a gesture of the Lord Jesus. And Mark mentions a look of the Lord Jesus. And that's most important. How much I would have given and how meaningful it was when the mother of Jesus and her children came, and they wanted to speak to Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says this, that he stretched forth his hand upon his disciples round about him. And he said, this is my mother, this is my brother, this is my sister. To have the Son of God to stretch out his hand and point at me and say, this is my brother, this is my sister, this is my mother. I wonder if Jesus would turn his hand at you, or if you would be like those on the outside that were not near the Lord Jesus. You understand? And so it says, the Lord Jesus stretched out his hand, and I'm so thankful that sometimes I wouldn't want to hear certain words, and I wouldn't want to see certain gestures. And if Nathan started his hand, to think that you would have to hear words like these, when David, the brother and murderer, would have to hear Nathan say, thou art the man, O God, to have a finger pointed at me and to hear that I'm guilty. But then to have the Lord Jesus to point his hand and say, you are part of the family God. Then all is well. And this, it says, Jesus looking round about on them. Now, there are two looks, and one of the looks in the same chapter is this kind of look. The Lord Jesus asked a question, because he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they were watching him to see if they could catch him to accuse him. And here is a man with a withered hand. And the Lord Jesus is trying to heal the man, but he says, is it not done on the Sabbath day to heal or to kill, the wound, to do good or evil? Is it not done? And they didn't answer him a word. And it said, Jesus looked on them with anger. God forbid that he should ever look on me with anger because of my silence and my hardness of heart. How does he look on you this morning when you hear the word God? He asks you a question. Will you trust me as Savior? Will you be born again? And you don't say a word to him. Don't think that the Lord Jesus is going to have a compassionate look. Says he looked on them with anger, God, because of their hypocrisy and hatred and rejection of the light. That is why. But here, thank God, the Lord Jesus is speaking to these disciples, and he says, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And he looks round about on them, and he says, my mother, my brother, my sister. Perhaps the Lord Jesus looks at me and says, my brother. Now that's beautiful. And he says it again and again in Scripture. You'll find it in Isaiah and in the Psalms. It says, behold, I am the children whom the Father hath given me. And I will declare thy name unto my brethren. You see, even in heaven, the Lord Jesus is acknowledging us now. And the Lord Jesus said, that if you're going to be ashamed of him in this adulterous and sinful generation, he will be ashamed of you in that coming day. But he said that if you are not ashamed of it, if you confess him, he will confess you in that coming day. And I'm so glad that as a lost, unworthy sinner, I trusted Christ as Savior. And as vile and unworthy as I am, when the Lord Jesus points his finger, he's going to say, my brother. And when he looks at me, it's going to be a look of acceptance and love. And he's going to say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And the Lord Jesus is going to look at you and talk to you and point to you in the coming day. And shall he say and acknowledge you as part of his family? Or shall he say, depart from me, ye wicked, ye cursed, into everlasting fire? Remember this. The Lord Jesus said, he that heareth and seeth the word of God, this is the one that is my brother. And so it's not only the hearing, but it's the doing as well. You heard the word of God this morning. Do the will of God this morning. And then the Lord Jesus will look upon us and extend his arms and tell us all, his brothers and sisters and mothers, he will include us all in the Holy Family. I live on. Father, we're so glad for the one that you sent from heaven that set his face like a flint not only to go to Jerusalem and suffer for us, but to stand for the right to bring forth justice to the Gentiles, the outcasts, those that the religious nation would reject, we are thankful that he said, anyone that hears the word of God and does the will of God, he is my brother. We are thankful that thy son is not like any other man. And he still has those standards today. And whatever sinners there are here, they've heard the word of God, and they will do the will of God, and this is the word of God. If you believe on him whom the Father has sent, let them believe on the Lord Jesus this morning, and then show that living faith in Christ by the life that they live. Let us, we pray, our Father, and let all of us, when that role is called in that coming day, be included in the holy family, the family of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.